Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. I'm Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall, scanning the horizon for you, brethren. I'm up here doing the task that God has called me to do, to warn the people, to be mindful of the events and the happenings that are going on around the world. Now, before I get started, I want to touch a few things. There are some of you that are listening to these shows, and you do not like the message that you're hearing. It doesn't bode well with you to hear that your comfortable life, the life that your pastor told you was a given, as long as you worked the formula that you were given. Some of you do not like to be told that this formula does not work. And so you write me emails, and you tell me different accusations, and you accuse me of fear-mongering or of concentrating on the negative. Well, folks, let me tell you something. It says in the Bible that our God is a very powerful God. Some of you say that I'm creating fear. I am fear-mongering. And you know, I thought about that when I was answering one of your emails, and I came to the conclusion, you better have a healthy amount of fear in your spiritual walk with God. The Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It says that we should worship the Lord God Almighty with reverence and godly fear, with awe. There is no other way to put this. For too long, people have turned Jesus and Almighty God into a little pendant that they put around their neck. The power, the majesty of God has been forgotten because there have been lies for too long from pulpits that have put the people to sleep to make you believe that God is just a God that hands out candy. He is a genie in the bottle that all you have to do is rub the bottle and God will answer your prayer. And that's all that He is about. That is a very, very unfortunate disservice to the true nature of God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God created the universe with a whisper of His breath. He said, "Let there be light," and the universe exploded into existence, folks. That is a God to be very fearful of. It says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. My job, folks, is to wake up those of you that are asleep and that have forgotten that part of God. I will not water down my message because some of you cannot handle the truth of God. I am not going to water down my message because some of you would rather believe a lie that you have been told. I will not do that, folks. If you want to hear a lie that God is a little candy cane God, then keep going to the mega church and listen to the prosperity message that's around the corner from where you live. Keep going there. You'll get it there, but you're not going to get it here. So don't expect it from here. Also, I want to touch on another thing. If some of you might be pastors that are listening to me, the message that I'm going to say in this show is going to be very, very serious. And if you're a pastor, I pray that you put aside everything that you are doing and you listen to this message because it concerns you. It concerns you with your calling. It concerns you with the seriousness that you have taken this calling, with the flock that God has entrusted to you. So pastors, listen to what I have to say. Now, the words that I am going to share do not apply to every shepherd or pastor that is out there. And if you are one of the pastors that it does not apply to, hallelujah, praise God. You are my ally in this battle to bring out the truth. Now, this message is also going to speak to some of the other pastors that are out there that have dropped the ball, that are doing a disservice to their calling. If I address some things in this message that are affecting you, I pray that you take those matters to God yourself and you ask Him if you are guilty of these things. That's my prayer. So the message that I have, brethren, as a watchman, is for the people of God, is for those that are asleep in the church, it's for those that are the remnant that God is opening up their eyes, and it is for the pastors and shepherds that are out there. Now, I ask this also, brethren, after you hear this message, download it if you possibly can, put it on a flash drive, burn it to a CD, and share it with as many people as you can. This website, by the way, if you are listening to this on a flash drive, is watchmanscry.com. That's watchmanscry.com. That's where you will find all the information that I'm going to be discussing here. That's where you will find the audio messages, the broadcasts, and the sermons that I have on here. So, let's get started, folks. Now, today is Friday, June the 27th, and I'm up here on the wall, folks. I do not have to look far to see the events that are coming on the land. So what do you want to hear? Do you want me to lie to you? Do you want me to say all is well? Everything is great? I'm a watchman, folks. Do you know what that means? It means that if I do not warn the people and they happen to perish, then their blood is going to be on my hands. The Bible is very clear on the office of a watchman. In the Old Testament, you can find it over and over. In fact, what I'm speaking of right now is found in Ezekiel chapter 33. Look it up. It says if the watchman has a warning for the people and he does not cry out to the people and warn them, that their blood will be required of him. However, it also says that if the watchman does warn, then I will deliver my own soul from the anger of God. So my job is to warn. It also goes on to say that it is not my job to force people to listen to the message or to force them to believe what I am saying. My job is merely and simply to warn. So that is what I'm doing. I am warning. So what am I warning about? What do I see coming upon the land? Folks, things are not good. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to make it up, but things are not good today, Friday, June the 27th, 2008. Just yesterday, Thursday, oil topped $140 a barrel. So the resistance of $140 has been broken. So now the new resistance will be $150. That's the way it works. So that is going to be the new benchmark, $150. Expect it to come, folks. Another story that came out in the news yesterday was that General Motors hit their lowest level for their stock value in 53 years. That is not good. How many pension funds? How many retirement funds? How many money market funds are invested in General Motors? Also, yesterday, the stock market fell 358 points, almost 360 points. That wasn't good news. That happened yesterday. Also, there's another rumor, this one's a few days old, that Israel reportedly did a dry run for an Iran attack. However, that rumor is being denied, but nevertheless, it's a rumor, and reportedly they did do that. Also, in the last few days, a report came out that home foreclosures set a new record in the first quarter of 2008. A new record in the value of houses depreciating. In fact, the percentages and the numbers that are coming out in the value of houses that are dropping like rocks, the values are plummeting faster than they did during the Great Depression. The housing crisis is deepening. So in many fronts, brethren, in many areas, we have an economic explosion that is shaping up. I do not know what's going to happen with the economy, but I'll say this, and I have said it over and over. Right now, we are witnessing the judgment of God. He is not happy with the condition of today's church. Therefore, His hand is going to purge the church in the matter that He sees fit, brethren. Now, some of you say, you're scaring me, brother. Don't tell me that stuff. Don't tell me that it's God's judgment. Brethren, I'm not trying to scare you. I am not trying to give you nightmares or to make you sad or upset. But you should be concerned with the events that are happening right now. You should be. When you take the category of the economy and what is happening worldwide in the economy, and then you take the events that are happening with earth changes, with the earth groaning, telling us, because it's the creation of God, the Bible says the earth will groan and travail. All creation will groan and travail. They want to be redeemed. Earthquakes worldwide. Volcanoes worldwide. Deadly storms. Flooding. This summer, how bad are the hurricanes going to be? Only time will tell. Nevertheless, God wants your attention. Now, does that mean we have to live in fear and have the spirit of fear that consumes us and gives us nightmares? No, it does not mean that. My message is this, and I want to state this for the record also. Your refuge and your fortress can only be found in the arms of God. Your fortress can only be found under the shelter of His wings. That can only happen one way, brethren, and that is through, number one, repenting first and getting your heart and life cleaned up. And then after you have done that, then it is praying for the peace of God to rule over your heart and mind daily. Now, this news that is coming out can overcome someone and consume people. And actually, females have a harder time dealing with this information than men do. So, husbands, if you're listening to me, it is going to affect your wife more emotionally than it will affect you. So, as a husband that sees and understands that their wife is a weaker vessel, husband, do your job and try to be patient with them and pray with your family, pray with your wife for them to have the peace of God. Do that, brethren. Things are going to get very interesting in the days ahead, and it is becoming more and more apparent, brethren. The timetable of the things that have been pre-written for the latter days is being witnessed by us. That being said, there's a lot of confusion out there, though, brethren. If we're witnessing the timetable of God, then how will that affect you? How is that going to affect us? The thing that I really have a burden about is to bring to you the insight that God has helped me to understand in these end times. The biggest truth, brethren, that I want to bring to you is that the events and the things that we have been told to look for in these last days, I really, really do not believe that the things that we have been told to look for are going to happen the way we've been told. And if that's the case, that means that you need to know what is going to happen. And you need to know, as a remnant of God, the true things to look for. So, brethren, we need to do everything we can to have our eyes and ears open to the hidden things that God has told us. The answer is in the Bible. They are in the Scriptures, and it is up to us to find those things. So it is my burden and my passion to find the answers in there. In the days ahead, I am going to have more and more broadcasts that will share those very things. Now, there is something going on right now that I feel it is very possible that we are witnessing the events of Revelation. It is very possible that the events that are happening are more than just a passing fad or a trend or a story that has been talked about in the Christian media or the news. There is an event happening, brethren, that raises my awareness and my alarm to the point where I am very, very concerned. And that is the purpose of this show, and that's what we're going to talk about. Now, the sad part of what I am about to tell you, brethren, is this. And I have to be honest with you. As a watchman of God, as a messenger of God, as a servant of God, I must tell you this thing, because you need to hear the truth. Some of you folks that are listening to me right now are in the category of the goats that God is going to destroy. Some of you have a religion that God is going to spew out of His mouth. Some of you listening have a form of godliness that will force our Lord to say, "I never knew you." Now, pastors, this message is especially for you. Please listen to me. Hear me, pastors. You have a very, very serious situation with your soul right now. As a pastor, the Bible says that you will incur a more stricter judgment. You have been entrusted with a small segment of God's flock. So, pastor, I charge to you, guard them. Guard them with your life. Protect them. Protect them with everything that you know to protect them with. If the concern from their souls escapes you and you do not take it seriously, pastor, then you are not a pastor, but you are a hireling. And if that's the case, my brother, woe unto you. Now, this broadcast needs to deal with events and things that are going on right now, and they concern all of you. In my previous broadcast, broadcast 110, I shared some end time prophecy study, and I also shared that certain prophecies are happening right now. If you have not listened 110, I encourage you to go listen to it. We talked about the two beasts that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. Now, Revelation mentions the first beast that comes out. It says, "I saw a first beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns were ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." We are witnessing right now the rising of that first beast. Now, in that broadcast, I go on to explain how the two beasts of Revelation chapter 13 are not human beings. Based on how the Bible spells this out, the first beast of Revelation chapter 13 is not a human being. The first beast of Revelation 13 is a government entity, an empire that is going to be controlled by none other than Satan himself. This first beast will encompass the entire globe, and this first beast will be broken up into 10 different areas. The Bible says that, 10 horns. Now, in a future broadcast, I'm going to go into detail about what those 10 horns are. But let me just say this, brethren. The standard common teaching that the first beast is going to come from the European Union and consists of the 10 nations of the European Empire is wrong and it is erroneous. Why am I saying that? Because in Daniel, it says that the beast swallowed up the whole world, it devoured the whole world, and it broke the earth into pieces. It divided the earth into pieces. What pieces are those? Let me just share it real quick. The very first piece of the beast was established almost 50 years ago in the form of the European Common Market, which evolved into the European Union. And then they got their own monetary unit, the euro. That was the first horn of the beast. Since then, we have every part of the world that is rising up In the days ahead, we are going to see European Union-style economic blocks occur throughout the world, including here in North America. Here in North America, the North American Union is alive and well, and it is being worked on. It is becoming a reality, and it is being spoken of in the mainstream news. It is out in the open, brethren. That is what you will see in the days ahead here in America. If you do not believe what I am talking about right now, then I invite you to do this. Google the word North American Union and Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs happens to be an anchor on CNN. Lou Dobbs, L-O-U-D-O-B-B-S, and he is speaking out against the North American Union. So go ahead and Google that. Go to YouTube and type in Lou Dobbs, North American Union, and you will see that that plan is happening right now. And folks, please hear me. If you have never heard this information, do not close your ears and say, conspiracy theory, this guy's crazy. Go to Google and Google it, folks. It's there. It's right in front of you. If you are wondering what's happening with the world economy, all of the events happening in the world economy, that will be the eventual goal of the final beast. The New World Order plans to have a beast system. They don't call it the beast system. They call it a unified world economy that is going to be dispersed and broken up into 10 economic unions. Those are happening right now. Actually, South America, just in the last week or two, started summarizing South America being in the South American Union. I have that story on my website. On the front page, it says it. The African Union is alive and well. If you don't believe me, type in Africa Union or African Union on the internet in Google. They have a website. So these economic unions are rising up worldwide, and that is what the beast is. The beast consists of these 10 parts. So that is not a man. That is not one human being. I will go into extreme detail on that in the days ahead. Now, let's move on. I also said in broadcast number 110 that the second beast is not a man. The false prophet has been told to us in the Hal Lindsey books and in the Tim LaHaye books that it is a man. Folks, the false prophet is not one individual. It is a world religious system. Now, is it just a lot of religions put together? Is that what the Bible says? No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 11, and go ahead and open your Bible and look what it says there, brethren. Revelation 13, 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now, a lamb represents Christianity. A lamb represents Jesus. So instead of the status quo popular theory that the false prophet is going to include every religion of the world, folks, I submit this to you. The false prophet is going to be a form of Christianity that is going to rise up in this world that is going to deceive the entire world. It's going to have the face of Jesus on it. It's going to have, quote-unquote, the gospel or the revival story on it, but it's going to be controlled by none other than Satan himself. Look what it says. It spoke like a dragon. Look what it says in verse 13. And he does great signs and wonders. This false Christianity system will do great signs and wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives all them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, folks, listen to this. Think about this for a second. He does great signs and wonders and makes fire come down. Now, go with me now, brethren. This second beast system, this false church, is going to have throughout the world services, church gatherings, where signs and wonders are going to be displayed in the sight and presence of the people that go. But look what it says it does. Verse 14 says, this false church will deceive them that dwell on the earth. That's a lot of people, brethren. Them that dwell on the earth. We're talking the majority of people will be deceived. But right now, I am submitting to you that this second beast is the lukewarm church that is throughout the world that is going to listen to deception. Now go with me now. Brethren, I want to present you with a thought. When this false church appears and has signs and wonders happening under Satan's control, are the newspapers going to announce it worldwide? What do you think, folks? Is TBN going to have an emergency message? We interrupt Benny Hinn's show right now because we have an announcement to make. The events happening in the church today are deceptive, folks. Is TBN going to say that? Is your megachurch going to announce it? If the Bible says the whole world's going to be deceived, is a megachurch pastor going to announce it? If we get to witness that, is Joel Osteen, the motivational speaker from Houston, Texas, the positive thinking man, is he going to announce it? Is he going to say, folks, aside from my church, the Western church, the worldwide church, the events happening in churches, I want to warn you right now, do not believe them. Do you think Joel Osteen would do it? How about Todd Bentley? Do you think Todd Bentley will get behind his pulpit and say, folks, now that I have the world's attention, I want you to know and I want you to be warned. The false beast church system has risen up and is using signs and wonders to deceive everybody. I need to warn you. Do you think Todd Bentley's going to do that? No. No, no, no. None of them are going to do it. Why is that? Because this entity will envelop the whole world, and it will envelop most church buildings. The Bible says so. It is the second beast. It is a great deception that is going to come. It will overcome. According to the book of Revelation, brethren, it will be so convincing that it will deceive the majority of people. How could that happen? How could the majority of people be so deceived that they do not get it, that what they are witnessing before their very eyes is the great deception? How could that possibly happen? Now, most of you listening to me, the majority of you would confess right now, well, it wouldn't happen to me. I wouldn't be deceived. I would hope that you wouldn't, brethren. But according to biblical statistics, some of you listening to me will be deceived. Why is that? Why will you allow yourself to be deceived? It's very simple. And it's found in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And if you have your Bibles, turn to that right now, because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. If you have to pause me, but look it up. Okay, you there? Look what it says. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It's talking about Christians there. They did not have a love for the truth. What is the truth? The truth is only one thing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It says in John chapter 1, Jesus was the Word in the beginning, and the Word became flesh. The Bible, the Scriptures, are the truth. The Bible is the yardstick. The Bible is the barometer. The Bible is the foundation. The Bible is our compass. Unfortunately, most pastors today have thrown their Bible away and are instead supplying lies and fables to the people throughout the world because they would rather tickle ears, because they would rather fill their churches, expand their walls, and become a successful, prosperous megachurch. All they really think about are the demographics of getting the young people to come to their church, from the demographic of ages 18 to 35, the young and cool and hip crowd. That is what they're concerned about today, brethren. We have a pollution of megachurch garbage that is going out throughout the world. It's out there. That Rick Warren megachurch purpose-driven church lie. It throws out the truth of God's word. Over and over, I'm seeing it. It seems that so many pastors that in the past were trusted to bring the truth are now just merely hirelings that are tickling the ears of people that are out there. Now, if I mention a pastor that you happen to worship and that bothers you for me to say that, I'm sorry it bothers you. I am a watchman. I am going to expose the prophets of Baal. I am going to expose those that are lying to the flock of God. I am going to expose those that have not taught their people to receive a love for the truth of God. We are in a mess right now, brethren. We are in a mess because these pastors have become hirelings and they do not care for the souls of their people. They just want to fill their churches up and be famous. What is going to be the end result of those that do not receive the truth of God? What's the end result? 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Look what it says. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. There you go, folks. If people do not have a foundational relationship with Jesus and a love for the Scriptures, and if they have not been taught foundational doctrine, and if they have not been taught that the Bible is the bottom line and the final say, then they are going to believe anything that comes around. And folks, that is what we are witnessing right now. Because they have not a love for the truth, God has sent a strong delusion upon the land. 1 Timothy 4:1, look what it says. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the latter times, brethren, are we in the latter times? We say it to ourselves. Most preachers say it. We are in the end times. The rapture can happen any second now. Okay, if that's the truth, then let us not forget what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1. Let's look at it again. The Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter days, the end times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are doctrines of devils? Where do I start? Satanic doctrines. That's what they are. Doctrines of devils. Satanic teachings that are against Scripture, like divination, sorcery, New Age practices, astral projection, channeling, manifestation of spirits? That's doctrine of demon, folks. When you mix in all the Eastern mysticism and the New Age garbage into the church, the Bible says that in the last days, people who you thought were Christians, who you thought were saved, are going to be listening to this garbage and believing it. It says it in the latter times, the end times. Now, when this happens, will it be obvious to everybody? Will everybody in the church sitting on the pew or sitting in their cushiony chair with their names on them, will they raise their hand and say, Pastor, excuse me, what you just said sounds a little bit Eastern. That sounds a little bit off. That sounds a little bit pagan. It sounds like witchcraft, Pastor. Excuse me, brother, I have a hard time with that. Does the Bible say that that would happen? No, it says that many will be deceived. It even goes on to say this. It will be a delusion, folks. How strong will this deception be, though? Think about that. How strong of a delusion could occur that most of the people sitting in the audience would not give it a second thought? How could that happen? What event would cause that to happen, brethren? Well, let's go on. 1 Timothy 4:1, look at the next verse. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They'll be hypocrites. They will tell lies from pulpits. But why will not the people be bothered by the lies? Why will the pastors not be bothered to tell these lies? It says right here, because their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Well, first of all, what happens when there's no conscience in a person? How does that person think? What kind of rationale does a person have that has no conscience? A very dangerous one. No spiritual compass, no barometer that tells them right from wrong. Seared with a hot iron. By the way, if you look that word up, seared with a hot iron, there's an interesting meaning to that word, the Greek word, seared with a hot iron. I did that for you, brethren, and here goes. It says, a soul branded with marks of sin. A branded soul. The stains of sin are so strong on them that it brands their soul. Another one of the meanings says, to mark by branding. To mark oneself. You brand yourself. Now, if your soul has been so full of sin that your conscience is actually branded and marked on the inside, what is the body going to look like on the outside, brethren? When you are marked and branded on the inside of your spirit, what happens on the outside? That's some food for thought right there. The person knows they are marked and branded. Will they want to be marked and branded on the outside without giving it a second thought? Will they want to mark and brand themselves? How many Christians are doing that now? Branding themselves, marking themselves. It doesn't bother them that Leviticus says, do not print on your body. Instead of that, people have thrown their Bibles away, and they are going along with the cool hipness of today's crowd. Today, you cannot tell, unfortunately, a difference between Christians and the world, no longer, brethren. You cannot tell. That's a side note, though. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but that's a side note. There is no longer any separation. Instead of a deep, deep love for the truth, now we have Christians that their food in Christianity can be summarized in a bumper sticker, a t-shirt, or a poster. That's it. That's not very deep, folks. And because of that, they have no love for the truth. The great delusion will take over them. Now, how bad will this delusion be? How bad? When God says, I will send a strong delusion, how bad do you think that's going to be, brethren? Have you ever thought about that? When that delusion shows up, do you think the deception is going to hang a sandwich sign in front of itself and say, attention, folks, attention, Christians, I'm the one that your mama warned you about. So many out there, brethren, so many out there read the Left Behind books and they think that it's going to be obvious. But what does the Bible say? Matthew 24, there shall arise false Christs. By the way, that word false stands for pseudo in the Greek. Christs stands for Christos, which means anointed ones. So there shall arise false anointed ones who shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In the Greek, the word elect means the select choice ones of God, the remnant. So let's look at that verse again very quickly. There shall arise false anointed ones showing great signs and wonders, and if it were possible, they were also even deceive the remnant of God, the chosen ones. That very small portion that even knows. That's how good the delusion is going to be, brethren. The delusion is not going to be some guy wearing a Pope outfit with his little incense canister walking around hypnotizing everybody. No, no, no. The great delusion is going to be happening in churches throughout the world, and we're going to have people, preachers, who everyone believes has good intentions, who everyone trusts, these preachers are going to be known as anointed ones. They have the quote-unquote anointing, and they show signs and wonders. According to the Bible, brethren, it's right there. Question, could you be deceived, folks? Could you be one of the deceived ones? According to the verses that we just visited, in the end times, there will be a great delusion, a deception. But who will these deceivers be? Who will these false anointing ones be? What kind of signs and wonders will they be doing? Think about that, brethren. People in the crowd are not going to say, you're the guy in Revelation. No, no, no. They're not going to say that. They're going to sit through it. They're going to sit through the message. They're going to sit through the display of signs and wonders and be caught up in it. The Bible says so. These miracles will be so convincing that they will deceive, if even possible, brethren, the very elect remnant of God. That is a strong, powerful deception we're talking about right here. This deception is going to include doctrines of demons, New Age, Eastern mysticism, divination, and according to Revelation 13:11, this event is going to culminate with a worldwide deception that will look like it's Christian. Read it, folks. It's right there. It will look like Christianity worldwide. But who's going to be in control of it? Satan himself. Demons, devils, spirits from hell, deception, satanic, very, very powerful spirits are going to be behind this. Now, in case you have not figured it out by now, I am very concerned about what I see happening in Lakeland, Florida, folks. Todd Bentley is on the front page of every Christian publication right now. He is the topic of discussion in blogs worldwide. Is he of God? Is this of God? So many people are asking that question. I've read a lot of the blogs. I've been to many forums. I've heard what most Christians are saying. I've watched videos of these events. Well, I have some news, folks. I have some news for you. This event is of God, and this event is of Satan. Did you hear what I said? People ask, is it of God? Is it of Satan? Yes. What do you mean, yes? Yes. It's of God, and it's of Satan. Well, what are you talking about? Are you lying to me? Is that heresy? No. I'm telling you what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, God will send the delusion, and once it arrives and begins doing its thing, it will be the powers of hell and Satan that are doing it.
Well, why would God send Satan?
Because, very simple, folks, because there is a famine for the word of God in this land. That's why. God's word is the truth, but the people do not want the truth. They wanted things. They wanted money and prosperity. Instead of the truth, they coveted earthly things that are going to burn and rot and float down the river. They worshipped men, self-appointed false prophets, apostles, and bishops. The people did not want to hear about holiness and righteousness. They wanted their ears tickled with motivational speeches by preachers who are an embarrassment to the office of a pastor. Now, to the pastors out there who are more concerned with getting rich off of your flock than feeding them, I have this to say to you, pastor, get off the stage. Isaiah 56, verse 10. This is the Bible. This is not a harsh, mean word from Brother Nathan. This is the Bible I'm about to read to you right now, brethren. Listen to this. Hear me. Isaiah 56:10 says, they are shepherds who cannot understand. They look to their own way for their own gain. They are blind watchmen. They are ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They are greedy and they are self-serving. That's a hard word, isn't it, brethren? That's the word of God. That's the truth right there. How many of you have heard that verse quoted from the pulpit lately? Now, by the time we arrive at the latter days, there will be a famine for truth for his words. Whose fault is that? I ask you, brethren, whose fault is it if there is no truth in churches now? Brother Nathan, are you saying that every church is lying to the people, that all churches are liars? No. Please hear what I am saying, brethren. I am not saying that. I am not for one second implying that. I am saying that a large portion of churches out there are not giving the truth to their flock. I will say, though, in the midst of that mess, God still has his prophets. He still has his pastors that he has set aside for himself. And if you are one of them, God bless you. God bless you for still bringing the truth to your flock. Good job, brother. Good job, if that is you. Even though the mega churches are swallowing up the small ones, there are still a small portion of pastors that are not falling for it. There are some pastors out there that still cry out to God that the cross is the most important thing that he needs to bring to his flock. And they are doing that. Some pastors have the burden, and they weep before God in prayer on bended knees that they want their people to hear the truth. They want to feed their people. That portion of pastors is a very, very small portion, though, brethren. That is what I'm trying to say. That is what I'm saying. Now, for the other ones that are not bringing the truth, I blame you, pastors, if you're not bringing the truth to your flock. I blame the shepherds that have not equipped their people with the meat of the Word of God to know that these things are going to come upon the earth. The Bible predicts deception. It predicts it's going to happen. So hear me, brothers. Hear me, pastors. Hear me, shepherds. Stop being cowards and patty-caking your messages. Stop worrying about whether or not those wealthy tithers will leave. Be concerned for their souls. They need to hear the truth. Tell them about the dark place. Tell them, pastor. Tell them about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Warn them, pastor. Tell them what it says in your Bible, that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Tell them. Tell them they don't need more of the supernatural. They need Jesus. Tell them, pastor. Folks, brethren, listen to me. I am very concerned over that mess going on in Florida. Are you still with me? Are you still there?
Brother, it offends me. It's a revival.
You know what? It's a mess. Let's call it what it is. It is a mess. What is going on down there? And I'm about to show you. I went into the dark ether of these things, and I watched with my own eyes. I watched, and I saw. I saw that on Monday, June the 23rd, an event occurred, brethren. And I want to talk about this right now. In Lakeland, Florida, an event happened that I feel at this moment, right now, I believe that this event was a very, very pivotal event in the Church of God in these last days, in the body of Christ. How many of you people saw it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I will explain it. On Monday, the 23rd, we had apostles, quote-unquote, self-appointed apostles from around the world who came to Lakeland, Florida, led by Mr. Wagner. How many of you folks have heard of him? Mr. Wagner, Bill Summers, Rick Joyner. I don't know all their names. I don't care to know all their names. But they assembled on the platform on Monday. But it was filmed. God TV filmed it. All the different media venues filmed it, reported on it. Charisma Magazine reported on it. And I watched. I watched in horror. I watched in disgust what took place in this ceremony, brethren. That is the only way I can describe it. Horror, disgust, disappointment, brokenness, sadness. I don't even have the words to explain how I felt when I watched this thing. Let me share with you what happened at this event. The event started with the self-appointed apostles getting up on the stage, and Wagner told Todd Bentley on the platform, as the other men were standing around him and a few women, they said that this is a commissioning to you, Todd Bentley. They wanted to present him and raise him up in the level of his ministry. They wanted to let him know that they acknowledge and they endorse his ministry. And the words that I heard given to Todd Bentley were shocking, brethren. No other way to put it. They were shocking. Let me give you a few of the words that were said. This commissioning represents a powerful spiritual transaction taking place in the invisible world. First off, by the way, brethren, that should raise some red flags. With this in mind, he went on to say, Mr. Wagner, this is Mr. Wagner's quote, by the way. With this in mind, I take the apostolic authority that God has given me, and I decree to Todd Bentley, your power will increase, your authority will increase, your favor will increase, your influence will increase, and your revelation will increase. I also decree that a new supernatural strength will flow through this ministry. And here was a very... Let me stop for a second, brethren, because I'm about to tell you something. The next sentence that he said was so spiritual that I cannot find it in my Bible. But here's what he said. A new life force will penetrate this move of God. Did you hear that, brethren? A new life force? Chapter and verse, please. If somebody has the chapter and verse of that statement, please let me know. He went on, government will be established to set things in proper order. God will pour out a higher level of discernment to distinguish truth from error. New relationships will surface to open the gates to the future. After he was done talking to Todd Bentley, he said, I'm going to pray for you with some holy oil that was FedEx to us. So they dabbed themselves with holy oil, these so-called prophets. And then they laid hands on Todd Bentley, where he immediately fell down on the ground, on the stage. And as he was on the ground, he just sat there with a big grin on his face and his head shaking back and forth. Todd Bentley did. During the speech of Mr. Wagner, I forgot to also add, brethren, that Todd Bentley stood on the stage and his head went back and forth, like you were saying no to somebody, for the entire speech. It just went back and forth, with a big grin on his face. That struck me as a little bit odd, but nevertheless, that's what he did. Then he fell on the ground, and then the next false prophet came forward and started talking. And he said, God has called you as an Ephesians 4 evangelist and revivalist that moves in signs and wonders. Because you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, you please Jesus in every work, you bear fruit in every good work, and you are growing in the knowledge of God. Now, that was also told to Todd Bentley, because he's a revivalist who moves in signs and wonders. As Todd Bentley was laying on the ground, he told him this. And then he went on to say, we bless you. We honor you. We honor you, Todd Bentley. We bless you, Todd Bentley. It was a worship service for Todd Bentley, folks. It was disgusting. These men were telling Todd Bentley that they honor him. And then it went on. We're partnering with you. We give honor where it's due. Because you welcome the glory. And here's where it got sick and pathetic. Now, if you get mad at me for what I'm telling you folks right now, I'm sorry that you're being offended. You need to hear the truth. You need to know what is going on, brethren. You need to hear it. Brother, that's not a word of love and encouragement. Well, I'm doing the dirty work then. Be angry with me, okay? That's fine. But I'm still going to do my job as a watchman. Let me tell you what was said next. They went on. And another person said, Moses will no longer be the high watermark for the glory of God. He will use your voice, Todd Bentley. He will use your grace. He will use your anointing to alter the face of the church in this world. Did you hear what I just said, folks? Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, who stood in the presence of Almighty God, and watched the finger of God, who witnessed the finger of God carving the statutes and truth of God's law and His commandments onto a tablet for us, for our Bible. Moses did that act, brethren. Moses did it. These men had the audacity and the irreverent boldness to declare that Todd Bentley will be a higher watermark with God's glory than Moses was. How does that make you feel, brethren? Now, if some of you are wondering, is this of God or is it not? How much further do I have to go? What else do I have to say? Has that got your attention yet? It went on, though. The heresy went on. The false prophet went on, and he said, I am loosing on this earth a kingly anointing that will bring in money, money, money. Did you hear me, folks? A kingly anointing is going to bring in a lot of money to the ministry of Todd Bentley. Because that's what it's about, right, folks? Money, money, money. But that's what was said at this gathering. And then it went on. There will be a portal. You will carry a portal. There will be a release of the glory, says the Lord. So apparently, according to this false prophet that was on the stage, according to Thus Saith the Lord, God has portals now that Todd Bentley is going to carry around the earth and release them. I wonder, folks, what's going to be on the other side of those portals? What is going to walk through those portals? Red flags, alarms, hello. We honor you, Todd Bentley. We honor you. We give you honor, they went on. Honor will follow you, Todd Bentley, into every nation that you go. And then it got, oh man. I had to pause it a few times, folks, when I was watching this thing on YouTube. I had to pause it, and I looked at my wife, and I said, are we awake right now? Is this real? Are we really witnessing this garbage right now? Because the camera would pan into the audience, and people, supposedly who are Christians, have their arms outstretched and are reinforcing this whole thing. They were agreeing with the entire happening on the stage. I saw 10,000 people agreeing with this. It went on. Another one of the false prophets. He said, Todd Bentley, the word honor rests on your life. You will draw men and women to you. Honor in you, Todd Bentley, will draw men and women to you. Folks, hello, folks, brethren. What did Jesus say? the Son of Man will be lifted up, and I will draw all men unto myself. No, no, no. Not at Lakeland, Florida, though. In Lakeland, Florida, men and women are not drawn to Jesus to the cross. In Lakeland, Florida, according to these false prophets and these prophets of Baal, Todd Bentley is going to draw men and women unto himself. Hello, red flags? Anybody? Anybody? And then, it got very interesting from that point, folks. Now, this Lakeland event is recorded on four different movies on YouTube. And in part three, I saw something that I have never, ever, ever witnessed in my life. I hope that I do not ever have to see it again. And I caution you, folks, if you want to go and watch this thing, you better put on the armor of God before you watch it. You pray a prayer before you watch this garbage. You pray a prayer before you watch this. I have been receiving emails from people that have watched Todd Bentley on YouTube video who say that a spirit comes into their room and into their house, into their office, after they watch Todd on video. So I warn you, folks, have the armor of God before you watch this. Please have the armor of God. You pray yourself up, folks. You put on the mind of Christ. You put the helmet on. You put the shield on, the breastplates. Put it on, brethren. Put it on. But here's what happened. I just want you to know, folks, you need to know this. In part three of this video, an individual whose name is Stacy Campbell, I don't know if you've heard of her, it was her turn with the microphone. When she was given the microphone, her head started doing the no movement, you know, back and forth. Not just in slow speed, but she started doing it so fast, back and forth, that I couldn't even see her face. Back and forth, folks. I mean, it would have made me dizzy to do this. And she did this for a long period of time, and then she started hissing like a snake on the stage with a microphone. She hissed like a serpent, folks. And then she started talking and supposedly giving a prophecy. Folks, the presence, the very disturbing presence of darkness came upon the atmosphere when she started doing this. She was visibly manifesting demons on the stage in front of 10,000 Christians, and not one of them stood up and said, "This is not right." Not one. Look where we have come, folks. Brethren, look where we have come. Demon-possessed people can actually walk into a church service, supposedly, a revival service of all things, and display satanic manifestations where they actually hiss like a snake and their head violently shakes and nobody has one red flag raised and no one speaks out. Not one person. That's where we have come. After she was finished, an individual came up from Spain who had a Spanish accent. I don't know who he was, but he said, "We welcome your anointing to the Spanish-speaking countries of the world." And then he started speaking in Spanish, and the crowd went nuts. They clapped. They cheered. And then it went downhill from there, brethren. Blasphemy, outright blasphemy, went out from this guy's lips. I could not believe it. I had to pause it again and look at my wife and say, "Did I hear him say what I think he said?" But here's what he said. He opened his Bible and he said, "I have a verse for you, my brother, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 9. Now, for those of you that do not know the book of Hebrews, I'm going to read this verse to you. If you have your Bible, go ahead and get this. Hebrews chapter 1, by the way, Hebrews chapter 1 is talking about Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our God. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all fellows." That's about Jesus. Hebrews 1, 8, and 9. That's about Jesus, folks. Read it in your Bibles. Now this person went ahead and read that same verse, Hebrews 1, verse 9, to Todd Bentley. And he said, "This verse is for you, Todd Bentley. You loved righteousness, Todd Bentley. You hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows." He gave a verse that was for our Savior to Todd Bentley on TV, and the people cheered. The people said amen. They clapped. Not one person got up and walked out. "And I saw a beast rise up out of the earth, having horns of a lamb, but spoke like a dragon, deceiving the entire earth." The whole world, folks. Think about it. Brethren, think about what I'm saying right now. This is not a good thing. This is more than just a regular, quote-unquote, revival service that is happening in Florida. Folks, I am very concerned that we are actually witnessing the beginning of this second beast rise up out of the earth. I am very concerned, folks. And if it hasn't risen yet, the foundation, The foundation of this second beast is rising right now because of the great deception and blasphemy and hypocrisy and heresy that is happening on TV through a TV station that would dare call itself God TV to go throughout the world and preach this garbage and heresy to all the Christians of the earth to deceive them. And not one person raises their hand and says, "Excuse me, this is not right." How could this be happening? How can we be witnessing this, brethren? The days are so weird right now. I am very concerned. The service went on, and it finished. They stood Todd Bentley up after they were done talking to him. By the way, the whole time they talked to him, it was about 35 minutes, he was on the ground. So even the reverence of God has been defiled and violated, where you don't even have to stand up. You can just lay down on your back and recline in church and have people bow down to you and worship you. That's what happened, folks. They were worshiping a man. It was disgusting. It was pathetic. If you are offended, let me tell you something. We are supposed to worship Jesus Christ and Him only. God said, "I am a jealous God. You shall not have. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not have a God before me. I am the Creator. I am your Creator. You shall not have idols." We watched in over 200 nations, God TV said. We had people watching from all over the world. They worshipped a human being, folks, who was going to die and rot and turn back to dust. They worshipped him. Abominable. Ichabod. If that bothers you that I am saying that, folks, I am sorry. I am a watchman of God, and I'm going to say the truth. You need to read your Bible and find out who you're supposed to be worshiping. If you want to worship a man, then maybe your religion is false. Maybe you are one of the goats that God talks about. Maybe you are the chaff that God says, "I'm going to bundle up and burn in the fire." You need to evaluate your Christianity, folks. You need to, if this is really offending you. I have no other words to put into this. I was disgusted. I was angered. I sighed. I cried when I saw this, folks. It was abominable. The desolation was before our very eyes, and no one stood up in that crowd. I told my wife, if I was in that crowd, I would be in jail right now, because I would have walked to the front, and I would have said, "You people are false prophets of Baal. You are defiling the Word of God. You are defiling who God says He is. You're worshiping a man. You are blaspheming my God right now." I would have done it, folks, and I know they would have carried me away. Why didn't one person stand up and do that? I ask that question, folks. I ask, where are the Elijahs of God that are going to stand up for this nonsense? Where are the John the Baptists that are going to stand up and say, "Enough is enough"? Where are they? You pastors that dare say, "I'm not sure if it's God or if it's not," that are staying on the fence, that will not stand up for your God. If you're not going to stand up against this, pastor, if you don't have the boldness to do it, get off the stage and let someone take your job who will do it. Quit playing games with the people of God. The great deception has risen in front of us. The great deception is rising up before our very eyes, and the people of God are not standing up. The prophets of Baal are assembling themselves at Mount Carmel, which is really Lakeland, Florida, and the people are not saying anything. Where are the voices that will rise up and proclaim that God is not to be mocked? Where are they, folks? Brethren, where are they? He stood up after he was on the ground for 35 minutes, and they put a ring on his finger. And then he said something interesting, folks. Todd Bentley said something. "Okay, you're putting this ring on my finger. Can I have my wife stand next to me?" So they asked Miss Shawn Bentley to come on the stage. Shauna Bentley, excuse me. "Shauna, would you come here? Todd wants you at his side." So Shauna Bentley walks across the stage, folks, and lo and behold, my eyes did not deceive me with what I saw next. Shauna Bentley limped across the stage because she has a leg injury and stood next to Todd. She limped, folks. The great anointed one who's taking his anointing to the entire world with the healing revival has a wife that limped across the stage to stand by his side. Now, is there something wrong with this picture? Why wasn't she healed? How many of you saw that video where Todd Bentley said God told him to kick an old lady in the face and that's why she wasn't healed? But if he kicked her, she would be healed with his biker boots. How many of you saw that or heard about that? I suppose the reason his wife limped was because he didn't take his biker boot and lay it into her nose. That's why she limped across the stage. Perhaps, Mr. Todd, you need to use your formula on your own wife. Maybe you have to drop kick her or put her in the headlock. Perhaps that's why she's limping. He's the first fruit of a worldwide revival, and his wife limped across the stage. Hello, people. Red flags, people. Luke 6:26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Approximately 2 weeks ago, I had a dream, brethren, and I did not understand this dream. I didn't understand what it meant. It was 2 weeks ago. It was approximately June the 11th. And in this dream, I had a visitation from God. He came to me in the night visions while I was sleeping. Now, I had only been asleep about 4 hours when he spoke to me, but his voice was very clear, and he said, I want you to remember these words. And then he proceeded to tell the words to me. He said, Spectre of the Red. And as he said those words, I listened, and I kept listening for him to say the rest, but that was it. That's all he said. Spectre of the Red? What is that? What does that mean, God? But that was it. He was gone, and for the rest of the night, I fell in and out of sleep, making sure I didn't forget what he said to me, but it was kind of hard not to forget, because when I hear the voice of God in my sleep, it is a very, very vivid, very clear voice that you can't forget. Now, normally when you have regular earthly dreams, they will fade as you wake up, and within an hour or two, they grow dense like a vapor and smoke that is diminishing, and pretty soon you don't see the images of your dream any longer. When it's a dream from God, that doesn't happen. It's very vivid. It's very clear. Days and weeks later, I can remember them. Years later, I can remember the dreams. It was a very vivid dream, and I remember those words. Specter of the Red. So when I woke up, I went to my wife and I said to her, what's a specter? Because I wanted her opinion. And she said, it means a ghost. And so I said, well, what does specter of the red mean? And I then explained my dream to her. And she said, I don't know. I don't know what that means. So I got on Google, on the internet, and I Googled the phrase, and I got nothing, brethren, nothing. So I decided, well, okay, I'll Google specter and let's see what that says. And on the internet dictionary, it was very clear. It said, a specter is a visible disembodied spirit, or it's something that haunts or perturbs the mind. So it's a spirit, an apparition, an invisible power, a force. So I found that interesting. Huh, God told me, specter of the red. So does that mean red specter? So I said, is it a red specter? Specter of the red specter? I mean, what does this mean? I had no clue what it meant, brethren. But God was very specific. He said, remember these words. So for 2 weeks, I was praying. I was asking others. I called some people, some friends of mine, trying to figure this thing out, but nothing. And I kept asking, God, what does this mean? Well, about 2 weeks went by, and then I had another dream. And this dream happened on the night of Sunday night, which was the 22nd, going into Monday, which I would wake up on the 23rd. Of June. So it was Sunday night, Monday the 23rd, when I had this next dream. In this next dream, I was at the mega church that is in my city of Loveland, Colorado, where several thousand people attend, when the service began. I was watching the service in my dream, and I saw the senior pastor walk up to the pulpit, and he was giggling. And all of the people in the audience, as I was looking at them, I noticed that they seemed to be in a hypnotic trance. They were like zombies. There was not much emotion on them. And then the pastor went on to say, folks, I have some important information to tell you. Since the recent terrorist attack, this was a new one. This wasn't 9/11. It was a new one. I have had government authorities meet with me, and they are asking me to tell you that for your safety, we all need to get the VeriChip implant. And don't worry, by the way, this is not the mark. Don't worry. It's not the mark of the beast. Now, all of the people in their hypnotic state said amen to the pastor. No one protested. This was odd and disturbing in my dream. I noticed, wow, it's not bothering them? That's weird. So in my dream, I found myself asking God, God, why don't they care? Why aren't they bothered? And then at that point is when God revealed to me the reason that the people did not care was because they had received the impartation spirit that was in Lakeland, Florida. And of course, then I said, but they didn't all go to Lakeland, Florida. God, they haven't all been there. And then God revealed that they did not have to go to Florida. Florida came to them through the spreading of the impartation. Like an infection, it spread to all of them, turning them into zombies. So then I wondered, well, what did this? What was it that did this? And that's when it was revealed. This was the purpose of the words that he gave me, Specter of the Red. This spirit, folks, this great delusion, this entity is a very, very dangerous and powerful demonic force, and it has a name. That's what that means. The name of the spirit is the Specter of the Red. I said, why red, God? God was revealing, that's what it is. It's red. So, brethren, here we are. When I had this dream, the first dream, Specter of the Red, I was not pursuing the Todd Bentley matter. It was not my idea to investigate all of this, but God showed up. God showed up and told this watchman the word. And since I am a watchman and a messenger of God, my job is to warn all of you. And I have a message to tell all of you from your Creator. Now, if you choose to dismiss my words, that is your choice, folks. I cannot force you. I can't force you to believe me. The bottom line is this. I have a warning, folks, to all the people of the land. Please, folks, please, please, please hear what I'm trying to say. There is a delusion that's going on in our land right now. This delusion is a very, very, very powerful principality, and its name is Spectre of the Red. This spirit operates in an evil force of red power. Now, I cannot explain. What do you mean, red power? Folks, I don't know. I can't explain that part. I have not seen the red power. I'm telling you what God told me. That's as far as I can go. So I'm giving you my warning. I haven't seen it, but that's what God says. So this spirit, according to the word that God gave me, is very demonic and it's very infectious. It is a red evil that will get on you like a disease. God wants me to warn you, folks. This red principality can impart onto you if you participate in this. If Todd Bentley touched you, or if he laid hands on you, then this red infection may be on you, folks. And it's going to take spiritual warfare to be cleansed of this red spirit. Why am I emphasizing the word reds? It's because that's what God said. He revealed it. He told me its names, and you should know it, folks. Now, for those of you that might be listening to me, and it is possible that you did participate in these meetings and Todd Bentley laid hands on you, and now you find yourself very concerned and worried and scared, folks, I don't want you to be worried with a spirit of fear. I want you to have an awakening, an eye-opening of the truth. All hope is not lost in you. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you when I'm finished, and it's not going to stop there. I'm going to encourage you to seek God and to pray to renounce this thing, because you can do it. But if you don't do it, then there could be an infection that spreads to other members of your family or people in your church. That is the warning. I need to say that to you, folks. Now, there's been so much craziness that's going on in those meetings down there. For the life of me, I don't understand why it's continuing and pastors are not bothered about it. But actually, I do know why. It's because there's a lack of love for the truth. So this anointing, folks, this impartation is very dangerous. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, but keep yourself pure. Now, what does that mean? It means if someone comes to pray for you and lay hands on you, that it is possible that when they're praying for you, even though they're praying for you, some of the weights and some of the struggles and some of the vices that they have in their life can be imparted onto you. That's what it means. That's what the verse said. Lay hands suddenly on no man and don't be partaker of his sins. That means if a person comes to you in church and he lays hands on you and he happens to have a demon of lust in him where he's a closet pedophile and he likes little boys and he lays hands on you, then he could possibly pollute you with that garbage. That's what that means, folks. So don't let people suddenly be laying hands on you. Now, does that mean what it says, let the elders of the church lay hands on me at church, Brother Nathan? So here's how you do it, folks. When you go to church and you let anyone pray for you and lay hands on you, you have to be very, very clear to our Lord. And you have to tell him, Lord, I receive from you only what I need to receive from you. And the need that I have, Lord, that is only what I need to receive from you. That's how your prayer should be. That you only receive from God what your need is and nothing else. In other words, I don't want anything that this guy has, but I do want to come to an agreement with another Christian. So that's what I'm doing, Lord. So, Lord, guard me in that. Only give me what I need. You have to let that be your prayer. Now, this takes a little bit of discipline, doesn't it, folks? You see, the Christianity that we have been taught that is so casual, where we can just go to church and go through the motions, is not the Christianity that we should really have. We should be vigilant at all times, the Bible tells us. Like a roaring lion, Satan wants to devour you. Be vigilant always. Doing everything you can to stand firm, Ephesians tells us. So, folks, that is my charge to you. Now, I need to wrap this up because this is getting way, way, way long. So before I stop, brethren, I need to have a prayer. If some of you had the impartation from Todd, I want to have a special prayer for you right now. If you're driving a car, don't crash your car, but receive the prayer that I'm saying and agree with me. Since we are created in the image of God, you have the ability to, with your will, renounce the works of darkness that could attempt to be at play in your life. You can renounce them, brethren. You can tell it to hit the road. You can say, I don't want this to have any part of me. So that's what we're going to do. Now, as I'm praying, you agree with me, but you renounce anything that was not of God that might have happened in Lakeland, you renounce it if it was not of God. Now, if possibly hands were not laid on you and you just went there and you went there to seek God and you got a touch from God, then that's great. I also want to close with this. Some people might say, you're mocking me because I did go to Lakeland and I got a lot out of it and I felt God's presence and it was great. I didn't go to the front, but I had a good time of worship. If that was you, brethren, then you stayed guarded. You were okay. You were protected, and that's great. However, a lot of people went there and were not guarded because they wanted this anointing impartation that is very dangerous. Let's have a prayer now. I'm going to pray over you. Husband and wives, if you're listening together, hold hands. Family members, hold hands. Mothers, daughters, mothers, sons, etc. Hold hands and agree in this prayer. Now, here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. We come to you in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior. Jesus, we come to you, and we seek you and you only. God, we seek you, Jehovah, only you. Spirit of God, only you. And God, I pray for every person listening right now, God, let your spirit go to those people, God. And if there were any spirits of delusion, of the enemy, of deception, God, that have taken hold of our brothers and sisters listening, I come against those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. Demonic forces, foul spirits, deceptive spirits, in Jesus' name, I come against you right now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over these people. They belong to God. They belong to Jesus. They are the property of God. They were purchased with the blood, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood, you must flee from them right now in Jesus' name. If you are oppressing them, if you are bringing them discouragement and confusion, in Jesus' name, you flee in the name of Jesus from their lives right now in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name from their household, from their lives, from their children, from every part of their house, from the four corners of their property. Be gone from them in Jesus' name. We renounce every part of the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. We renounce you in every life, in our lives. We renounce you. We renounce you. You have no authority. By the will of God in us, we renounce you. The will of God will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. His will in our lives. Be gone in Jesus' name. We renounce you, spirits. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And Lord, let the peace that passes all understanding guard their hearts and minds right now in Christ Jesus. Let it guard them, God. The Holy Spirit of God, the pure Holy Ghost Spirit of God, flow upon them and guard their hearts and minds. Let them not be attacked with fear and doubt and depression and oppression. God, let your peace overshadow them. Let it envelop them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for this, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brethren. By faith, it says if we come boldly before the throne of grace, by faith, He will hear your prayers. He heard your prayers just now, folks. Don't let it stop there. Keep taking it to prayer for purity, for revival, for repentance. Live in a life of revival and repentance, folks. True revival is repentance. True revival is shame for our sins. It's not manifestation of signs and wonders. It is a solemn assembly for us to come to God. So, folks, God bless you. I hope this ministered to you. Share this, folks. Share it with everybody that you can think of. Share it, folks. We have to get the word out. But unfortunately, as far as these meetings, I don't think that we have seen the last of what is going to happen with this. I pray that this is not the manifestation that we read in Revelation. And I am not saying that it is for sure, but I am very concerned that it might be. So if it is, the remnant needs to rise up and be wise to these things, folks. God bless you. I love you. Keep listening. Keep coming back. Tell your friends about my website, watchmanscry.com. I love you, folks. That's why I'm doing this. I am up on this wall for you. So God bless you. Amen and amen. And we'll see you next time.